A friend told me about a farmer who sold a horse to a city dweller for three times the going price. When asked how he got so much money for the nag, the farmer replied, "It's not what it's worth. It's what they think it's worth." A common negotiating myth is that there is something called objective value. What something is really worth. In fact, value is in the eyes of the beholder, and whether you are buying or selling, the key to success is how well you influence your opponent's perceptions. Imagine you collect rare books and discover that a bookstore has the last volume in a series you've been assembling. The individual book may have little value to the shop owner. But to you, it's a prized find. How much either of you learns about the other's position will affect the bargaining. I started my career as a trial lawyer, negotiating everything from the selling price of a business to the payment plans of a debtor. Here are some lessons I've learned. A businessman I know went to Japan to negotiate a deal with a Japanese electronics firm. After he arrived, he was asked when he would return to the United States. We need to know so we can arrange to drive you to the airport, his host said. My friend replied that he had to leave on Friday for the next 5 days. The Japanese gave him tours, long lunches, and presentations. Everything except what he went to Japan for, to negotiate a deal. Finally, Friday morning, only 5 hours before his flight, negotiations began. My friend was under intense pressure. to make concessions. Only then did the truth dawn on him. Because negotiations had been delayed until the last moment, he was at a tremendous disadvantage. He broke off talks and returned home. Don't disclose your time limit unless it's in your best interest. If a time limit has been set by others, see if it can be changed. If you must negotiate within a time frame, downplay its importance. Focus on the deal itself. At a seminar I gave, a real estate broker told me about a sale that took her less than 15 minutes. A newly married couple walked through a home that had just been put up for sale. The market was slow, and the broker figured she'd have to make concessions on price and terms. Within 5 minutes of entering the house, the couple queried the asking price. The broker quoted $185,000. She was just about to add that the sellers would reduce the price when the buyers cut her off. "Wow," they replied. "That's a lot less than we expected." Instead of offering to lower the price, the broker made only modest concessions and closed the deal. Before you make a remark, ask what your opponent wants. For the most part, the party that speaks first lacks patience. The information he gives away allows you to better frame your counteroffer. Let the other person make the first move, unless it's to your advantage to do so. For example, if a buyer has no idea of value, the seller can benefit by establishing an expected price. For most of the 1980s, Eastern Airlines in the United States and the Mechanics Union engaged in heated negotiations. They eventually deadlocked, which bankrupted the company and cost the employees their jobs. Such deadlocks can normally be avoided. Negotiations often get stuck on a single point. When this happens, move on. Find as many areas of agreement as you can. Then return to the problem issue. Sometimes, however, deadlocks cannot be broken. Recognizing your options can increase your negotiating power. Imagine you're at a car dealer. Ask yourself, if I don't buy this car, what are my alternatives? They could include going to another dealer, buying a different model, fixing up your old car. Anytime you create a better alternative for yourself, the best deal you're offered may not be good enough.